Bro, they just came out with a trans. All right, I'm gonna show you. We're gonna get into it. Hold on, I'm gonna show you. Cause y'all don't understand that there's differences. All right, I'm gonna show you something. This is crazy. All right, look, we're going to start the show off like this. All right. I want y'all to see something, bro. This is what's happening out there in parts of California. Let me share my screen with you guys really quickly. This is in San Francisco.
Here in the transgender district, Brianna, talking about placemaking. The first only transgender district in the world. What's happening right here on Golden Gate?
Yeah, so thank you, Mayor. It's really good to see you. Thank you for visiting us here in the district. My name is Brianna McCree, co-executive director of the Transgender District, here with Carolina and Carlo and Orhan, who is the owner of 64 Golden Gate Parking Garage, who has donated his garage space to the district for placemaking and murals. We will have murals of trans artists, trailblazers, and activists. And on the inside, we will house murals of our local sports teams, the Giants, the Valkyries. Support this initiative as we help build San Francisco to revitalize the mid-market corridor.
Let's go. Thank you all for your leadership, and I can't wait to see this again.
San Francisco is championing and building and continuing to promote a transgender district, which I believe is what they call the Tenderloin area. The Tenderloin area. It's a trans district, bro. It's crazy. It's insane. I never knew that there was a transgender district over in California. I just literally pulled it up on YouTube to see if I can get more visibility into what this is. To try to understand exactly what the heck is going on, bro.
History Month, a new book is shining a light on the rich history of San Francisco's transgender district. Author and activist Reverend Dr. Megan Roer traces over a century of trans presence in the Tenderloin. Our Lauren Tom shows us how this history is being preserved and why it matters today.
In the heart of San Francisco, Reverend Dr. Megan Rohr unearthed the lineage of transgender history that's long thrived in...
Did they say Reverend Doctor?
Reverend Dr. Megan Rohr.
Do you see how disrespectful that this is to God? Because you know me, listen, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I didn't have this as a part of the stories that I wanted to cover, but it's okay. Because it's Labor Day, and so we got the holiday before we get back to our normal show where we're going to be in the studio tomorrow, and so we can have an uncomfortable conversation. Do y'all see how disrespectful that this is to God? Somebody sent this to me in my email. I did not anticipate even doing a reaction video to this, right? And they sent this to me, and so I checked it out, and I said, it's nothing for me to figure out here. Legislators, politicians, and I think that they sent it to me because of what was happening over in Minneapolis as far as the, and I'm going to read the super chats. We're going to get started with the show. We're just going to do a little bit of appetizer right now. I think they sent it to me because of what was happening over in Minneapolis and that the mayor over there in Minneapolis was caping for the alphabet community at a time where he should have been championing and highlighting and dealing with the massacre of the students in the Catholic school. And so people would rather spend time because, again, everything is acceptable. And this goes into every single thing that we talk about. Everything is acceptable in the United States of America. Unless you say white. They can create a black district. They can create an Asian town, Mexican town, anything that you can think of, all girl town, town this, town that, right? Transgender town. They can mock God and say that they're a reverend, deacon, reverend, doctor, and we don't even know what the piss that they are. They can cut off boys and girls' genitals at earlier ages than ever. And if white people, for example, would say, well, listen, we want to go into the Ozarks of Arkansas and take our trailers and create our own community, it's going to be called racist. If you are a straight, heterosexual white man, and then it goes down from there, straight heterosexual man. And then it goes down from there. You are absolutely the enemy of culture. And the longer that you allow, this is no different than the biblical days. Let me play a little bit of this and then we're going to deep dive.
Unearth the lineage of transgender history that's long thrived in San Francisco, and in it, a community that felt like home.
Finding people in old-timey photos made me feel a little bit more seen and present today. Like I wasn't inventing a new thing. Old-timey photos.
Reverend Dr. Megan Rohrer. I don't even know what this is, bro. I don't even know what I'm looking at. Honest to God, I have no clue what I'm looking at right now. I don't know if I have no clue no more.
Made me feel a little bit more seen and present today. Like I wasn't inventing a new thing for myself.
Today, Megan walks among the world's first legally recognized transgender district that spans parts of Market Street and the Tenderloin.
You see Market Street in the view from the Oddfellows Temple, which is right behind us. And so on these corners is a place where the 1906 earthquake destroyed a lot of stuff, including that vaudeville theater. It paved the way for trans people to kind of move into some of that housing.
The history that can be felt among these blocks echoes for centuries.
There is an old...
You do know how these places come to be. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of a history lesson of how these places come to be. All right, you ready? This is how these places come to be. What happens is there is communities that are run down. Okay. And this happens everywhere. It's happened in places in Detroit. It's a part of how things started to transition over in Atlanta. As you can see, he's given a history lesson about what happened in San Francisco. And so what happens is I've seen it happening because we have somewhat of a community of that over here in Detroit also. I'm just going to be keeping 100% with you. What happens is whenever there's a space where a city that has good bones, good infrastructure, right? It could be the next great city. Whenever there's a, not disinvestment, but whenever there's room for low rent and for people to start businesses and all of that other type of stuff, you'll have a collection of people that normally wouldn't even have access to certain areas. That's when they go in and they start to make it their own. That's when they go in and they say, you know what? This is ours now. We're now going to claim it for our own. And it happens in cities across the United States of America. That's when you start to see Somalis was moving into Minneapolis. They all started to go into one place. Arabic people moved into Dearborn. They all started to go into one place. Chaldean people started to move into Hamtramck and other types of people. They all start to go into one place. And so they go in and they make it their own. They make it home. The only community of people that don't own something as far as going in and making it their own because they look at it as less than is usually black people, right? So black people, they say, oh, this is the hood, this is the ghetto, I want to get out. They don't say, you know what, let's mow our lawns, let's clean up the sidewalk, let's make sure that we raise our property values, pay our property taxes, improve our schools, and open it up businesses, and we don't have to necessarily announce it, right? And they wait for other people to come in and then they say, oh, my God, this is gentrification. No, they've seen an opportunity. They are capitalists and justifiably they can come in and invest in a particular area. And then they start to move everybody in one area. And then that's when they start to make it their own. And when they start to take over, meaning that they can then start to have people in legislature, city council members, mayors, police chiefs, You know what I'm saying? Then you have to start to listen to their demands because they become a part of a voter block. And that's why when Trump was touring and he had to go to Dearborn in particular and Hamtramck and all of these different places, because there was a certain voter block that then required for you to listen to them and to, in order to get their vote, you had to start to cater to whatever it is that their needs are. So when I see Black people a lot of times say stuff like, well, it doesn't matter if we vote, that just means that you want to disenfranchise yourself from having community power. This is the honest to God truth. I'm keeping it 100. The only place that I could think of that probably has some say so as a group from a Black community is maybe Atlanta tops. Maybe Atlanta tops. But outside of that, that's what happens. So when I see communities that say, oh man, this is the first recognized transgender district, we often sit here as regular taxpayers. We ask ourselves, how could this be? This is crazy. This is demonic. Well, what do you mean? How could it be? All they did was say, hey, listen, if you are of this, and this is how you identify, this is more fun over here for all of us because we're creating cultural norms that more or less bend to our ideologies. And then once we get enough power, once we raise enough money, once we take over enough neighborhoods, once we make you uncomfortable enough for you to want to move out because you don't want to be a part of what goes on here, then we are going to make it what we want it to be. We're going to raise our flags here. It happens everywhere all across the United States of America. It happens everywhere across the United States. When they say this is this, they've been cultivating this whole culture over there in San Francisco for years. San Francisco has always been a queer community since I was born. He's giving you the history and the facts behind why it then became affordable for certain people to move into a certain neighborhood and then take it over. This is not new. This is not new at all.
The very exciting history of trans community and joy that spans all the way back to the 1800s.
Megan is now bringing that history to light in a new book with the hope of making trans history accessible and offering a storied family tree to today's trans community.
My goal is that these photos will be so much more accessible for anyone who's looking for them, either at a public library where they check it out or at a local bookstore where they can keep it as their own, but they don't have to travel the country to different archives to find these really historic photos.
But this history doesn't only live in his book. It comes to life through the voices of trans elders, like Miss Billy Cooper, a veteran who lived through San Francisco's underground trans scene and never stopped being unapologetically herself.
Live through San Francisco's underground trans scene. It's just like music. I need y'all to understand this. This is just like music. Music is first underground that eventually becomes popular. That's when it becomes pop culture. It is first underground, and then eventually they affect the culture so much to where you then have to start recognizing what is happening. They live through it. They then say, you know what? We are happy that this is now happening inside of our communities. And this is what the culture is going to be. And we're going to make sure that we change this thing to be whatever we want it to be in history. And look, I'm a veteran, but I decided to change into a woman or a man and whatever. And so I've lived through this. Look at how things have changed. We now have our own district. This is what happens when you start to go into communities and you change it into what you want it to be.
And I found out about men from all over the world, all different flavors.
Okay.
And I was there. I had a smorgasbord.
Okay.
The first bar I went into. Back then, I had a beard and mustache, and I used to wear a veil.
For many, these aren't just stories. They're a guiding light. In a time when trans rights are under fire, these stories mark a blueprint for hope and resistance.
There's not a day I leave my house where I don't wonder where I can go to the bathroom, if I can go to the bathroom, and if I will be safe.
Welcome to America. Welcome to America. Things that are not addressed in its inception, oftentimes it grows into a mountain. And when people first, when Obama got into office, he started to push this shit. I said it from the very beginning, and I said, listen, bro, I know that y'all keep asking this dumb question because that's the question that they ask when they want you to shut up. They say, what do you care? They say, what do you care? I seen a white man. That's how I know that I'm winning in life. This is how I know that I'm winning in life. I'm starting to see white people, white men, white apologists, liberals, white women. I'm starting to see them everywhere react to my content. I'm starting to see white people, white liberals. And that's how I know that I got a level of success. That's how I know that I got motion, right? That's how I know that I got motion. Because I am starting to not only see black people, but I'm starting to see white people come up and say, you know what? I don't like what he's saying, and it's bothering me, and this is why I'm going to be upset about it. Bro, talk. That's how I know I got motion. Bro, anything that is not addressed in its beginning, in its inception, from the very beginning, and it starts to take root and it starts to take hold, eventually it will 100% take over the entire, your entire lawn. A weed will beget another weed. Something is going to beget something else. It's going to continue to grow into something else. And then it's just going to go left from there. That's how it happens. I was like, oh, okay. People are starting to send me white people that are reacting to my content or reacting to my videos. And now they want to have, I said, okay. Now I realize that I got motion. Now I realize that I'm stepping on next. Now I realize that, you know, I'm starting to have a real, 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 real big impact in the community and in the culture. And how things are happening. And if you don't stop this, I'm just keeping it 100 with y'all. If people don't make the adjustment and stop things, it's going to turn into what we are starting to see today. And then you're not going to be able to do nothing about it because they've changed the reality from being you just complaining. They've changed it into being, oh, you a hater. Or, oh, this is hate speech. Or, oh, this is that. Or, oh, this is that. That's what they start to turn it into. And now you're the enemy. Now you're the bad guy. Now you are the person that is the anomaly because what is normal, you know how people say stuff like, oh, man, you need to get with the times. Why do I have to get with the times? Why do I have to change? What now? Again, they say, man, when was America ever great? It's people that say, when was America ever great? When was America ever great is what they say. They don't even believe what you believe. They don't believe what your ancestors believe. They don't believe what your people believe. They are 100% in a whole nother space. Now. They don't even see things the same way that you see it now. Ain't that crazy? But it happens slowly over time, and then eventually you have to subject yourself to it. Because if you just did a snapshot and you say, hey, what happened over this period of time? And then you come from there. Then it wouldn't seem like it was that big of a deal. But now that you got to start to pay attention to what happened over a longer period of time, you know, if you just start to add in a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, then it's going to seem like, wait a minute, you know, this is just normal. We've just naturally evolved over time. Listen, Anton, get with the times. What are you talking about? Why are you even thinking like this? What is wrong with you? And then I'm looking at y'all and I'm saying, well, I'm unwilling to change. I'm not going to change for you. I'm not going to be any different. I'm not going to start to affirm you or make you think that this is normal. Why should I affirm you in making you think that this is normal? You're going to be the weirdo and you're going to be looking around like, wait a minute, I'm normal. Men are supposed to be with women. Children are supposed to be raised in two-parent households. Everybody is not supposed to have a disease. And then they're going to change your mind because you so easily finessed and you listening to too many people at the same time and you think it's just entertainment, but you don't even realize that they're putting little seeds inside of your head every single day. Oh, no, you're supposed to have student loan debt. Oh, no, it's normal for men to walk around in women's dresses. Oh, you know what? It's okay for you to go out there and have herpes. Everybody got it. It's normal. It's called HSV1, HSV2. Hey, it's regular for you to take PrEP. It's normal for you to get somebody pregnant and have children out of wedlock. No. It's normal to, you know, never, ever, 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 you know, try to make peace with your parents. That's regular. This is regular. It's regular for us to have gender affirming care. For drug dealers to be in our communities panhandling, you know, taking money from people and then investing it so that they can sell dope over to the, it's normal for fentanyl. Hey guys, it's normal for us to not be America first and to take all Chinese products. It's normal for us to import everything and don't make any money. Ah, not a big deal. It's normal for women to go online and talk negatively about the men that they've had sex with. It's normal to go out here and talk about the amount of women that you didn't bust down. It's what are you doing? You're not with the program. Why are you not? You know what? You're just a dinosaur. Cool. Call me a mother effing dinosaur, bro. I'm cool with being a dinosaur. I don't want to be like y'all. I don't want to be like everybody else. I'm not interested in affirming what your beliefs are. Hey, it's normal for alphabet community sassy black men to be at the front of the pulpit singing your favorite gospel songs. Hey, at least they trying. It's normal for women to be able to tell you what to do in your own household. Ah, what are you doing? It's normal for women to want partners instead of wanting husbands. It's normal for us to just take care of the world and send all of our tax dollars overseas. This ain't normal. And the more you affirm it and the more that, again, back to the Obama era, what do you care? It doesn't affect you. What do you mean it don't affect me? It's all around me. I can't turn without seeing it. Now they want you to be able to play basketball with them. Ladies, now you can't go in and because they want to piss on your toilets because they still standing up. Eventually, because when you start to really look at it and how they justify the acts, if you can't control who you love, then how can you tell them that they can't like kids? But I'm the hater. I'm the bad guy. Because I call out bad behavior that I don't agree with objectively on both sides, men, women, cultural norms. I say that the thing that we celebrate the most in black culture is trash. I'm a hater. I don't like black or I don't like women. What? That's how backwards we are. Somebody told me, they said, if I didn't know any better, I think you hate women. Because I don't think that you should be having children out of wedlock. And I want to go back to traditional family values where you can raise your children. And it's okay to celebrate mothers that stay home and fathers that go out to work and bring home resources. And